You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
We love you, Jesus. Oh, how we want to be near.
Hello, and welcome once again to the Grace Alive radio broadcast, a ministry of Grace Emmanuel Church, located at 707 Kitterman Road in Port St. Lucie. Thank you so much for joining us as we listen to a message recorded live during our Sunday worship service. Please know that our church is praying for you as you listen today. Our great hope and prayer is that through these broadcasts, you would come to a better understanding of the Scriptures and that you would more deeply trust the God who gave them to us. Thank you for investing your time. If you have questions or a need for prayer, please text us at 772-205-6552. Today we will listen to the first message in a series titled, Do You Want to Be Well? This message was recorded during a time when we were all concerned about a virus. Every part of our culture has been impacted by it. Disease changes things. In the culture of Jesus' day, it was not just the physical impacts of disease that were an issue. A sick person could be literally cut off from the rest of the community. This part of disease, as some of us have discovered, can be worse than the virus or the bacteria. When Jesus offered healing to the sick, it was about far more than just removing disease. It was about restoring life and destroying the curse and bringing blessing. Please consider God's call to His peace as we listen to this message from our pastor, Sam Chess.
To be well. Number one, which you know what that means. I spent Friday morning with this group of pastors and community ministry leaders taping this virtual day of prayer that you're going to take part in, I pray, on Thursday. Every single one of their lives, every single ministry has been completely upended over the last 6 weeks. Every pastor is preaching to empty seats just exactly the way I am today. The lady on the left in this picture is the head of a school, the largest Christian school, or perhaps one of the very largest Christian schools, the Synergy School of Tomorrow in Fort Pierce, 1,000-plus students. All that school is silent. Everybody's doing what they're doing virtually. So we're praying that day and praying through these uncharted, rather desperate times was intense. I can assure you it was very focused. Every one of the ministry leaders as they prayed that day were so completely focused. And I really, really encourage you to make sure at either noon or 6 o'clock next Thursday that you open up that website and look carefully. About an hour and a half, I think it will run. Music involved. We got all that in there already. So, with all that said, where is all this going? How long is all of this going to last? What are we going to learn from it? And lastly, what lasting eternal spiritual impact will this have in all of our lives? Several of us here were on a conference call on Thursday with pastors all over the state talking about when all of this will end, when we will start back, how we will start back. It was very, very informative. In fact, Governor DeSantis will be on this coming Thursday on the very next call, and we hope that we get some very clear guidance from him. We will, I'm saying this as a statement, we will, God willing, have a plan, a safe plan for reopening this church, beginning to form in our minds. This week, we'll start to know a little bit more about when we can all get back in this building, or at least some of us, or how in the world we do in stages, or how in the world this is all going to happen. But in the meantime, let me deal with this all-important last question. Very, very important. What lasting, eternal, spiritual impact will this time have in all our lives? My concern, I prayed it at the virtual day of prayer, is that when this is all over, we'll quickly go back to who we were before. That's what our nation did after 9/11. We're going to tackle this using two narrative, maybe three, we'll see, narrative style of sermons that specifically addresses people who are dealing with disease, with sickness, with emotional issues in the Gospels, and how exactly Jesus approached them when he reached the point of our title, Do You Want to Be Well? And let me just read to you a somewhat familiar passage. This one in Mark chapter 1, starting in verse 40, you'll recognize it, I think, rather quickly. A man with leprosy came and knelt in front of Jesus, begging to be healed. If you are willing, he said, you can heal me and make me clean. All important words, watch them close. He said, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out and touched him. I am willing, Jesus said, be healed. Instantly, verse 42, the leprosy disappeared and the man was healed. Then Jesus sent him on his way with a stern warning. Don't tell anyone about this, like that's going to happen. Instead, go to the priest, let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who've been healed of leprosy. We'll look at that in just a moment. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. 45, but the man went and spread the word, proclaiming to everyone what had happened. As a result, large crowds soon surrounded Jesus, and he couldn't publicly enter a town anywhere. He had to stay out in the secluded places, but people from everywhere kept coming to him, and we say, man, oh man, that one sure caught Jesus by surprise, didn't it? No. Well, the leper sure overstepped himself, didn't he? Maybe yes, but probably no. The last paragraph that we read there was part of Jesus' providential plan. We know Jesus didn't have anything that happened to him accidentally. Where people would come in faith, where people would seek him out, where he would be able to pour his grace and forgiveness, his healing, his wholeness into the people's bodies, their souls, their minds, something Jesus did rather regularly. So our title today is based not on that last paragraph. The title is based on the first five clipped sentences. Really good sentences. So let me put them up here along with a picture of this poor leper. A man with leprosy came to him, Jesus, and begged him on his knees. B, if you are willing, you can make me clean. If you are willing, you can make me clean. C, filled with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. Big deal. D, Jesus said, I am willing, be clean. And E, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cured. This is familiar, yes, to you. We often use this story kind of in a Bible story kind of way. It's just the way we tackle these kind of things. A man had leprosy. Jesus healed him. Yay, Jesus. End of story. If we go about it that way, number one, we'll miss the similarities to the pandemic that we're facing today. And there are similarities. Number two, we might miss completely the odd path that Jesus took when he healed this guy. Wasn't normal. Wasn't what you would expect. All of us here are concerned, or have been a concern, seemingly everybody a little less so every day, but concerned about getting the coronavirus. All of us are. None of us thought even one time this last week about getting leprosy, did we? Although there are 200,000 new cases of leprosy every year in this world. It is not caused by a virus. Leprosy is not a virus. It is caused by a bacteria. It is now called Hansen's disease after the Norwegian scientist who finally figured out which bacteria it was. But get this. Get this. People who are infected with leprosy carry it around and infect others long before their own symptoms show up. Get this one. We'll put it on the screen because it's so interesting. It is now believed to be less conveyed by direct touch and more conveyed by droplets that pass through the air from someone who has leprosy that lands on another person or on something another person then touches. Imagine that. And they didn't have these fine filters that we're putting into this church right about now. If you go today to countries where leprosy is still prevalent, or Ebola, or any of the other major plagues, you might find a pictorial warning like that. People are warning other people, don't snort in other people's droplets, which we're all kind of in that too, wearing our mask, hating it, but wearing our mask. But please, let me just say, Please don't add that to your list of worries. Your chances in the United States of getting close to somebody sneezing their leprosy droplets in your direction is zero. In this country, it is zero, not something you have to worry about. But in the Old Testament, and then on into the New Testament in Jesus' day, nobody had a clue what a bacteria was or what a virus was. People didn't just get leprosy and then get over it. There was no 14-day quarantine. If you got leprosy, it was considered a life sentence until the progressing leprosy killed you, reaching inside to your organs. And that's what makes Jesus' final words so odd. They really are quite odd. And yet they're exactly in line with the law of Moses 1,500 years before. He didn't step outside of what Moses had clearly said, what he had inspired Moses to say 1,500 years before. 44, don't tell anybody about this. Instead, go to the priest. Let him examine you. Take along the offering required in the law of Moses for those who have been healed of leprosy. And I just put three question marks there. It really doesn't mention leprosy, I don't think, in the law. If you find it, I'd like to know it. This will be a public testimony that you have been cleansed. Leprosy was the corona of the ancient world. Nothing stoked more raw fear, more deep dread, more utter revulsion than the sign of the walking dead, which they in fact did call people with leprosy. Imagine walking with your kids along a dusty road on the way to Galilee, and approaching you comes a couple of lepers. The smell reaches you long before they do, because their bodies are literally rotting away. Their fingers and toes have fallen off. If they're advanced, their nose, their ears are stubs. The rotting continues until it reaches their inner organs, and then the inner organs finally cause their rather horrifying death. The point is, you wouldn't say to your son, be nice to the leper man, son. Don't treat him any different than you treat anybody else. You go over there, smile, and shake that poor man's hand. You wouldn't say that to your boy because you know that if your child even bumps up against the leper or anything that the leper has touched, they would immediately, by Jewish law, be considered unclean. They could not return home with the family. They would be quarantined. And they would be quarantined until it was proven that they had not contracted the disease by touch. But possibly, if it happened, you would look at your son's back a few weeks or perhaps even a few months later, and there would be the dreaded first white spot. And you would send him to the priest, hoping, praying with every fiber of your being that he had gotten into the poison ivy or something. And if the priest looked at you and shook his head, you would know that your boy would turn and walk away from you forever. He would never touch you again. He would be subjected the rest of his life to literally rotting away, shuffling along on toeless feet, then feetless legs, murmuring unclean, unclean, to warn anybody who might come on him unexpectedly. That's not a cheery picture, I get that, but leprosy had no cure, at least not any that we are aware of historically. Unlike COVID-19, you couldn't put a person inside of a high-tech hospital and put them on a ventilator and wait for the virus to burn itself out. It never burned out. It was a bacteria before the days of antibiotics, and it just kept multiplying, just kept going, kept going. There was nothing to stop it. Nowadays, we can isolate the exact bacteria, we can slam it with antibiotics, and we can reverse leprosy rather quickly, but not so in the first century. Not so at all. So the above story, everything that we talked about so far, in some version or another, was part of the life of the man who approached Jesus in Mark 1. That's what happened to him somehow. The first part of that, at least that's really fascinating to me, and it's actually not the first part, it's in the middle, is where Jesus told him to go to a priest and be declared clean. Somewhere along the way, you have to stop and ask yourself, how many people were lining up in the I'm just cured of leprosy line? nobody, or very, very few. Historically, we don't read about virtually any. If you think you might have leprosy, go get in line one. If you think you've been cured of leprosy, go get in line two. Line one would have had people in it. Line two, maybe not so much. Leprosy was incurable. It wasn't something they knew how to cure. They didn't understand anything about penicillin or antibiotics, and they maybe ate a loaf of moldy bread and somebody was cured. We're not sure. But at what point, when your flesh is literally rotting, do you wake up the next day and say, I think I'm starting to feel better now? It just doesn't happen. They were in a place that was not going to change. Nothing would ever get better. There were two very specific laws in the Old Testament regulating these unfortunate people who'd contracted the disease. And they needed these laws. I mean, this had to happen. The disease could have wiped out all of the Jewish race. If it just kept going, somebody had to quarantine people. Somebody had to stop it. If you came up with a rash, which many of them would have done wandering around in the wilderness and living in unsanitary conditions, somebody had to determine whether it was, in fact, leprosy and not just some other kind of a rash. But here's my question. Were there laws about what to do if you found yourself healed of this incurable plague? Were there laws that said, here's what you do if you're healed? And the answer is actually yes. Yes. Jesus referred to it. He said, go back and follow the law. But probably not so many people standing in that line. But that doesn't change the fact. 1,500 years before Jesus heals this man in Mark 1, God laid a groundwork for what a diagnosed leper could do to be declared healed from his leprosy. Maybe nobody had used it up to this point. I don't really know. Maybe it was all in place so that Jesus could do it right here. And there would be some means of remedy for this leper. But admittedly, now these laws included purification from all kinds of skin diseases, not just leprosy, from a bad case of acne to the mother of all skin diseases, which in this case was leprosy. It was Jesus himself who told this guy to go to the priest and go through this ritual law. Let me show it to you. I think it's important enough that we read it, because this is not the stuff we typically go back and read, Leviticus chapter 14. Let's read it together. The Lord said to Moses, verse 1-2, the following instructions are for those seeking ceremonial purification from a skin disease. Those who have been healed must be brought to the priest. That's what he told the guy to do. Who will examine them at a place outside the camp in case it's leprosy. If the priest finds that someone has been healed of a serious skin disease, he will perform a purification ceremony using two live birds that are ceremonially clean, a stick of cedar, some scarlet yarn, and a hyssop branch. Interesting. The priest will order that one bird be slaughtered over a clay pot filled with fresh water. He will take the live bird, the cedar stick, the scarlet yarn, the hyssop branch, and dip them into the blood of the bird that was slaughtered over the fresh water. The priest will then sprinkle the blood of the dead bird seven times on the person being purified of the skin disease. Isn't this fascinating? When the priest has purified the person, he will release the live bird in the open field to fly away. Does it strike anybody as curious that the answer to being declared healed by a priest was not, hey, that rash looks pretty good now, but the bringing of an offering of two birds, one of which would be killed, its blood would be sprinkled over the person being purified, and the second bird, which was kept alive, would then be set free. Why did Jesus ask this guy to go through this particular ceremony? Why? And I don't always make a huge deal about stressing the typology in the Bible, where something in the Old Testament fulfills something in the New. But this one's kind of in your face. This is the one Jesus wanted to make sure that the Mark 1 leper experienced. Is it just circumstantial that one bird was sacrificed, one bird's blood was shed, sprinkled over the cleansee, and then the second bird rose to liberty and free? Maybe it's just coincidental. Maybe I'm making too much out of that. But there's more than just that. Verse 10, on the eighth day, each person being purified must bring two male lambs and 1-year-old female. So after the bird thing, if you're actually healed, now you have to take it another step. bring two male lambs, a one-year-old female lamb, and verse 12, the priest will take one of the male lambs and the olive oil and present them as a guilt offering, lifting them up as a special offering before the Lord. He will then slaughter the male lamb in the sacred area where the sin offerings and burnt offerings are slaughtered. The priest will then take some of the blood of the guilt offering and apply it to the lobe of the right ear, the thumb of the right hand, the big toe of the right foot of the person being purified. Then the priest must present the sin offering to purify the person who was cured of the sin disease. After that, the priest will slaughter the burnt offering and offer it on the altar along with the grain offering. Through this process, the priest will purify the person being healed. Clearly, there's more going on here. I mean, there seems to be this mixing of the physical and the spiritual and the sacrifices that seem to be one for the physical, one for the more going on here than just, hey, your skin looks clear, isn't there? In the case of our Mark 1 fellow, one would assume that Jesus' healing somehow meant for him the replacement of rotted skin with clean, clear skin, toes growing out where there were no toes on feet that hadn't maybe existed up to that point before. And then Jesus said, okay, now that that has happened, now that your toes are back, now that you've got skin again, I want you to go through the bird sacrifice. I want you to do the blood sprinkling thing. I want you to go through the lamb as a sin offering, part of this with the blood on your ear, your thumb, your big toe. And this strikes me as really, really unusual. When the woman was caught in adultery and brought before Jesus, Jesus simply said to her, go and sin no more. This guy is the victim of a disease. He didn't even do anything wrong. And yet he gets the full multiple sacrifice option, birds, lambs. Why? Why?
We want to take a brief pause from today's broadcast to welcome those of you just joining us. You're listening to the first message from a series titled, Do You Want to Be Well? Leprosy, at the time of Jesus, was the worst disease you could get. Not only would it destroy your body, it would cut you off from everyone and everything. You were an outcast. You could not be part of the community of God. This is a picture of what sin does to us. But Jesus, just as he restored this man, wants to restore us. If you have questions about this or a need to contact us, text us at 772-205-6552. You can also go to our website at graceemmanuel.com. Use the Contact Us tab at the top of the page to send your comments, your questions, and your prayer requests. Now, let's return and listen to the rest of this message from Pastor Sam Chess.
Here's the thing. The Jewish people rated leprosy as the number one worst disease on their planet. We would consider cancer or heart disease, kills far more people than the coronavirus we're in now. We would consider them to be number one. They didn't maybe know, or they hadn't understood if they had a heart attack or they had some sort of issue, what the root cause was. But what they did know is that when those things happened, it didn't make your feet fall off. Leprosy actually did, and the Jews tended to equate sickness with sin. When somebody was sick, they would immediately go looking for what sin did you commit. We see that in the Old Testament. We find it again in the Gospels. If you're sick, they thought, clearly you have committed some sin to cause you to be sick. If sickness is caused by sin, and leprosy is the worst of all sicknesses, then lepers must be the worst of all sinners. That's the way their head. And none of us would go along with that today. None of us would see the logic in that. None of us would see the theological part of all that. But the reality is, when the leper came to Jesus that day, that's what most people around him were thinking as he approached Jesus. And the Bible does develop, this is important, it does develop the idea that sin is as the disease of leprosy. Sin does not cause leprosy. But leprosy is about as good an example physically of what sin does to the soul spiritually as you can possibly find. John Piper says sin is like a spiritual leprosy. It deadens your spiritual senses so that you rip your soul to shreds and you don't even feel it. And perhaps we could put this line down the right side of that screen. Sin is contagious, like leprosy. Sin grows out of control. Sin leaves you rotting on the inside, spiritually, emotionally. Sin causes God's intentions for you to slowly rot away. Sin is, at least on our own part, incurable. And let me add a sixth here. The leper was forbidden from going inside of the temple to worship God. We know that that was exactly what we're experiencing now. Why he couldn't go into the temple. It wasn't a sin issue. It was a protect your neighbor from disease issue. But none of the people quite caught on to that. Why couldn't he come? I don't know where this guy was spiritually just before he came to meet Jesus. But he obviously hadn't been going to a temple for a long time. He hadn't been seeing a priest. He hadn't been offering any sacrifices for a long, long time. And there had to be some kind of a thing inside of him long about this point of his life where he was saying, God, why did you let this happen to me? Why me? Why not them? Well, they would run and scream, oh, a leper. God, why me? And perhaps he thought, if I wasn't a sinner, I would tend to be one now because I've developed a deep anger toward the God who made me in his image and then allowed this twisted nonsense into my life. God, why? Why? And this is where some of us watching this stream today come into the sermon. You are not going to get leprosy. I promise. But for some of you, there has been a truckload of junk dumped into your life. Some of you are experiencing that right now. And you are still trying to dig your way just back to the surface right now. And for some of you, it is a physical sickness. For some of you, that's true. And you're overwhelmed by the physical circumstances of your life. You feel so isolated. Now, I have learned from watching others for 42 years of ministry and then experiencing sickness myself, serious sickness myself, that when you go through deep physical or emotional trauma, your world tends to shrink around you. You've noticed that? Into this little tiny bubble. Sick people tend to get a bubble, and it's just the reality. And some of you are there today. God, why? Why? But for more of us, it may very well be a truckload of sin that we're living with in our life right now. We've allowed ourselves to become increasingly surrounded by stinking, rotting stuff falling off our soul, sin. We didn't mean for it to become that serious. We didn't mean for it to head that direction. We didn't imagine that one thing would lead to another, but it did. And our sinful habits started so innocently, we had no intention of them ever getting out of control. But they did. Whatever your situation, this story is written for you, for me. This is our story. None of us are going to get leprosy, but this is our story. It's Jesus' first healing of an individual person, and he's going to make absolutely certain that everybody knows that his power extends to the deepest recesses of one's body and soul. This man clearly came to Jesus for physical healing, but he got so much more than just physical healing. Watch this. Point A, a man with leprosy came to him and begged him on his knees. On his knees, that's a bold move for a guy who hasn't been around people for a long time, doesn't touch them, doesn't go near them. It isn't just 6 feet rule with a leper. It's much, much more than that. There was more here than just physical desperation. Let's put it up here. There was real faith here. The phrase that's translated, begged him on his knees, signifies more than dropping to one knee. It signifies bowing down and worshiping. He was looking for something more than just fixing the fingers that no longer existed on his hands. Point B, if you are willing, he said, listen to his voice, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Katharizo, from which we probably get the word cathartic, to cleanse, to make clean, to purify, to purge. You can purge me. You can clean me. In fact, the Matthew account includes the word Lord, the same account in Matthew, not the word sir, as maybe you have in the version you're looking at. He calls Jesus Lord, acknowledging his deity. There's something more going on here in this guy's heart as he approaches Jesus that day than just, I need fingers. Way more. Watch this. Let me put it this way. The leper had full faith in Jesus' ability to touch him, in Jesus' ability to touch him. He lacked faith in Jesus' willingness to touch him. If you could, Jesus. If you wanted to, Jesus. And most everybody watching this today has faith to believe that God is capable of dealing with any problem that rears its ugly head in your life. We all believe that. God's capable of it. Yes, he is. We fully believe that God can and does bring healing to people's souls and bodies and minds and emotions. We've seen it happen. In many cases, it's already happened in our own life. But when we're faced with what we're faced with today, and I'm not just talking about a pandemic, I'm talking about anything that's going on in your life right now. When we're faced with what we're facing today, we know he can. We know he can. But we're just not sure he'll do it for us. He'll even do it for other people, but maybe not for me. If you are willing, if you were willing, the leper said, if you were willing, you could make me clean. You could cleanse me. You could purify me. You could purge me, said the man who'd been rejected by society for probably most of his life. You could do it. If you were just willing, you could do it. And Jesus says, okay. And the man may have said something like, no, don't tease me, Jesus. I said, if you were willing. And Jesus said, I am. I'm willing. Filled with compassion. Look at that. Filled with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the leper. Put his hand on the leper. In fact, I have a picture there. I think we already ran through it of Jesus hugging the leper. For some reason that resonates with me. Forget the touch. Let's go all in. And this is absolutely huge. Let me just spell it out like this. The compassion statement. Jesus is incarnate God. He is infinite already in compassion. Jesus would always have had more compassion than everybody else in the world all put together. So when the Bible says that something Jesus already had completely, that he was overwhelmed with it, Jesus, the most compassionate being in the universe, was overwhelmed with compassion for this leper. Something about the pure faith, something about the faith that was stretching toward Jesus, the stretching toward pureness, caused Jesus' compassion to reach out and do something that no one else could ever possibly do. And what came next was just unprecedented. There's the word that we all use now. Was unprecedented. It really was unprecedented. Jesus reaches out his hand at least and touches the man. I'd like to go with the arm around or maybe the full hug. By Old Testament Jewish law, which Jesus inspired and wrote, as soon as he touched the leper, he himself became defiled with a disease. He was now unclean by Jewish law, which he inspired. And he didn't care. Because as the defilement, perhaps even the bacteria that we now know caused the disease, passed to Jesus. And out of him at the same time and into the leper passed the awesome healing power of God. Jesus didn't get the disease. We have no record of any of that happening. But what happened is, as he touched the leper, out of him flowed this awesome healing power of Almighty God into the leper. But I need to say, whatever happened from the leper to Jesus, it was just a tiny part of what he would one day bear as he hung on the cross. I kind of think maybe it did pass from the leper to him, because he would eventually carry every sin, every abuse, every disease, every cruel act of every human being. and understand he wasn't just going to bear our sins. It would be more than that. Literally, 2 Corinthians 5 says, he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. He became our sin. Everything we ever did, every rotten, cursed thing that this earth produces on this sin-choked planet, he became it. It was filling him. He was saturated with every sickness and every sin so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's our Jesus. That's what he does. That's who he is. Watch this interchange. You can actually hear the excitement in Jesus' voice. I can hear the excitement in Jesus' voice. I am willing. I'm willing. Be clean. I'm willing. Literally, it is a Greek present tense verb. Means the action is ongoing with no end in sight. I am willing. I am more willing. And I'm more willing. And I'm more willing. And I'll never end. Quit being willing. But then the be clean is an aorist tense. It's a decisive, immediate action. I am so willing, and I'll never quit being willing. Be clean. Boom. The leper was purged, cleansed of his leprosy. With that touch, Jesus answered for all time the doubts of anybody who would wonder if God really cares. Jesus not only met the physical need, and he did, and he does. And he does. He understood the loneliness that that man must have experienced. It wasn't just physical for the leper. And with his touch, he reached deep inside the rotting body to the inner pain. And if you've ever been lonely or unloved or rejected, and many of you, most perhaps listening today, know exactly what I'm talking about. You know what that touch must have been like. The touch that reached past the rot and reached the soul. Jesus' touch was not needed to just heal the leprosy. It was necessary to meet the man's deepest inner need for love and acceptance, which he would never have experienced, at least not from the time the first spot showed up on his skin. And point E, immediately the leprosy left him and he was cured. I don't have to tell you that he wasn't just cured of leprosy. It wasn't just the leprosy. The touch of God made its way into the abandonment. It made its way into the misjudgment. And it began to heal layer after layer of pain from the inside out, just healing the man and ending up with new toes, new fingers, new skin, decades perhaps of abuse. And Jesus' love begins to fill his empty soul. Just fill him up, fill him up. Can you hear him mumbling, unclean, unclean? And then there's a change. To I'm clean, from unclean to I'm clean, I'm clean. Perhaps some of you watching today so desperately need an inner touch in your soul. Maybe you need a touch in your body. God does that, but maybe you need a touch deep in your soul. Maybe you're crying out right about now, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus is saying, I'm willing. I'm willing. Father, you know the people in this room today, and I'm going to pray here in a moment. But there are some who desperately need to reach out to you today. I know that's true. They need you. Life has been rough. And what it's done is it's shown us all the cracks. Some in this church are dealing with other issues piled on top of the corona issue, and some are dealing with horrible physical issues. And there are some out there that are just plain downright dealing with rotting sin, and it needs to stop. It needs to go away. This needs to be the end of it right here. And I pray that in the next few moments, we will literally be able to be transformed by the power of God. Let me say it this way. Let me put it up here on the screen. Jesus always offered only one way out of sin. Sorrowful admission of guilt, humble request for grace and mercy. And here's the pattern. Confess your sin. Repent. Make a U-turn. Believe what he did on your behalf. And what he promises you is forgiveness, cleansing, and eternal life. Is that for you today? You bring the repentance. You bring the confession. You bring the belief, he gives you back forgiveness and cleansing, eternal life. Healing, purging, cleansing. That's what he does. If you realize the leprosy of sin has infected you, then you know you're a sinner. I'm talking to you today that are sinning and you know it and you need forgiveness. I'm talking to you. If you believe that there's no reason why you should not go immediately to him now, he has compassion. He will touch you. He will touch the leprosy of your sin. And you will be healed. That's his promise to you. Have you humbled yourself to say, I know if you're willing, you can make me clean? This would be a good time for that. God, if you're willing, you can make me clean. His instant response is going to be, I'm willing. I'm absolutely willing. If you have not approached him in that way, why not now? Why not now? Let's do that. Let's do it today. God, I'm a sinner. And I'm truly sorry. And I'm repenting. Would you pray with me wherever you are? Don't pay any attention to anybody else in the house right now. This is for you. You need to pray this to God right now. Dear God, I have sinned and I am so sorry. I am today confessing before you my sin and the fact that you are the Savior who can heal my sin. And I'm repenting. I'm saying I'm sorry. I'm making a U-turn. I'm ready to go another direction. And I'm believing that you're the sin payer, not just for the world, but for me. You paid my sin debt. I'm repenting, I'm confessing, I'm believing, and now I'm accepting. I'm accepting your forgiveness. I'm accepting your cleansing, your soul cleansing. You're healing me right now, physically. And for some of us, it's going to reach way down into your emotions, way down into the pain, the hurt. And maybe for some, it's reaching right into the physical symptoms in your body. And God is bringing you his healing here this morning, his healing reaching out to you. And you're going to say to him, oh God, thank you. Thank you for what you are doing in my heart right now, in my body, in my soul, in my emotions. I'm not unclean. I'm clean because of the power of God reaching into my life. I am clean. Thank you, thank you, thank you, Almighty God. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to the message today. Jesus offers healing and restoration and fullness of life for anyone who comes to him. He is willing. Let's join our pastors for some more insight. With us are Sam Chess, Senior Pastor, Ian Croshaw, Pastor of Congregational Care, Mitchell McGar, Pastor of Student Ministries, Kevin Pierce, Pastor of Outreach and Evangelism.
I was struck by a lot of different things in this text, but I'm going to try to really summarize it in this regard, and I want to equate something I think that really just jumped off the page at me, equating physical uncleanness to spiritual uncleanness. Pastor Sam rightly talked about, and I'm quoting him verbatim here, there was no 14-day quarantine. It was a life sentence until the progressing leprosy killed you. And John Piper, wonderful, renowned pastor, also mentioned this in his quote as well, about how sin kills us. Sin is killing us, ripping our soul from the inside out. And I'm thinking about the lepers, and Pastor Sam touched on this as well. The lepers having to declare when they were walking into a town, walking into a vicinity, declaring unclean, unclean. And on top of that, you could smell them a mile away, country mile away. And that's just like our sin. The scripture talks about that our good deeds are even filthy rags. Romans 3:23, all who have sinned fall short of the glory of God. And without Christ, we are stuck in our sin. The wrath of God remains upon us. So you have to let scripture interpret scripture. That's the first thing I learned in my biblical hermeneutics course in Bible college. In the same chapter in John chapter 3, you have John chapter 3, verse 16, I call it the coffee mug verse, the verse we all know. It's a wonderful verse. For God so loved the world, he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. It is a cornerstone, pivotal verse for us to understand. But literally 20-some-odd verses later, John chapter 3, verse 36, those who do not believe in the Son, the wrath of God remains on them. Pastor, that's some bad news. Actually, no. To understand the good news, you first have to hear the bad news. Ephesians 2 also puts it this way in the beginning, that we are sons and daughters of destruction. And then Ephesians 2, 4 and 5 hit, but God, rich in mercy, has come and plucked us out of darkness, and we are now in his marvelous light. We have been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So that's something that's very imperative for us to understand. And as well as that, Romans chapter 5, verse 8, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Romans 10, 9 and 10, whoever confesses with their mouth that Jesus is Lord will be saved. And that's one thing I've really been doing in the last couple of months in this season of the coronavirus is going back to the basics, going back to who I am in Christ, what Christ says about me. Also in Romans chapter 8, there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So God, yes, he wants to make us physically clean, but more importantly, he wants to make us spiritually clean. So let's run into the arms of our Heavenly Father.
The sermon touched me by causing me to think about what God has done for my life. And I can imagine that some people listening might still be stuck on all of the weirdness or the strangeness of the sacrifices that the healed person was supposed to go through. But think about this for a second. He had already been healed. He was already well. What the sacrifice did, what that ceremony did, is that ceremony displayed to everyone around, because it was something that would be public. It displayed to everyone there that this person was now healed, and this person could now be taken back into the community of believers. That thing which had separated them from the life of God in the community had been removed, and they can now be received back. I can remember when I became a Christian and I surrendered to Jesus. The first thing that happened was the things that had beset me, drugs and alcohol and fear and shame and guilt, they were instantly removed. There was a profound peace in my life as the blood of Jesus cleansed me from sin and his resurrection brought new victory into my life. So I'm made right with God. But something else happened that's critically important. Very quickly, I walked into the door of a church, and people saw that I'd become a new person in Christ, and they received me into their fellowship. And these are people who 2 weeks before literally would not have spoken to me, not because of their judgmentalness, but because I was unclean, and I didn't want anything to do with them either. But it wasn't just that Jesus saved me from my sin and brought me from death to life. He gave me a new family. He gave me people that would love me, who were broken once like I was, but were now made whole, who were unclean, but were now made clean. And I think that so often, beloved, that's what we miss. That's a dimension that we miss about becoming a believer. That you're sitting there listening to this broadcast, and you're saying the same thing. I don't know if he will. Maybe he can, but I don't know if he will. And not only that, but the sin and the guilt and the shame and the thing that's bothering you is keeping you from being near other people. I'm telling you that it isn't just that Jesus can take you from death to life. He can give your life new purpose, and he can give you a family in his church. Would you think with me for a minute about the aftermath of this man's healing? Think with me for just a second. Pastor Sam mentioned how a son who was leprous would walk away from his parents and not see them ever again. Think with me for a minute about this man leaving the ceremony where he's declared clean and knocking on the door of his mother's house and her opening the door and with joy for the first time in years, embracing her son because she now can. This is a dimension of being saved, of being a believer that I want you to get. It's that Jesus heals every part of your life. He makes you clean so that you can take part not just in heaven, but in his kingdom purposes with the rest of us. Please, if this is you, I'm begging you, contact us. Let us talk to you about this wholeness that Jesus brings.
Sin is as the disease of leprosy. That's tough stuff right there, because sin doesn't make us a little bit sick. We don't get a sin cold. We're not caught up in our sin sniffles before we come to Christ. We are lost in our trespasses and sins. We have rotting flesh falling off our souls, sin leprosy. And maybe some of you listening today are saying, yeah, that's me. That's me. These points that we quoted a while ago, sin is contagious. It spreads. Sin grows out of control. We know that. We are all people who have come from a place where we didn't mean to sin. We didn't mean to sin more. We didn't mean to sin even more. And yet we did. Sin leaves you rotting on the inside. Yes, sin causes God's intentions for you to slowly rot away. And sin itself is incurable, at least in our own strength, in our own power. I can imagine, we're kind of putting ourselves in this leper's head, but I can kind of imagine when Jesus showed up and him wanting so bad to go to Jesus with his outer problem of leprosy, but he had an inner problem in his soul. We can kind of see that showing up in these verses, and the Matthew account makes it even more clear. It says he came to Jesus, and then as he got near Jesus, he fell to his knees. And Matthew says he called him Lord. Something's going on there in this man's soul. Something has to change. And it isn't just that he needs new fingers. It's that he needs a transformed soul. Came to Jesus on his knees, said that conditional phrase, if you're willing. He's still trying to make sure that he actually believes this Jesus can do something about his life need. But again, not just the purging of the leprosy on the outside, the cleansing, the purging of his darkened soul on the inside. And this phrase we said, this is really important for you that are listening. The leper had full faith in Jesus' ability to touch him, the ability to touch him. He lacked faith in Jesus' willingness to touch him. And perhaps you're there right now. Man, we don't want this time to go by without you having an opportunity, wherever you are, you having an opportunity right now to stop what you're doing and embrace Jesus' purging, cleansing, making you brand new on the inside before anything is dealt with on the outside, making you a new person on the inside. And I want to offer you that today, right where you are. Would you just stop what you're doing right now? And would you allow God to speak to your soul? I'm going to ask Pastor Ian, he's a singer all his life. I'm going to ask him to sing a couple of stanzas from an old invitation hymn, Just As I Am. And then I want to pray with you. Would you just let God talk to you for the next few moments?
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Just as I am, and waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come.
If you fear your past,
hate your sin, long to have some deep, dark stain removed, some painful memory healed, some horrible guilt forever banished, Jesus has his arms open wide to you right now. Would you pray with me? Oh God, I have sinned. I have the leprosy of sin. I am rotting parts of my soul on the inside. And God, I confess. I repent. I'm turning right here, right now, today, away from my sin. I'm looking directly into your open arms. And then I'm running to you. I believe that you are the answer, the only answer to my sin problem. And I roll my sin off onto you right now. And I embrace your forgiveness with all of my heart. Right now, I embrace your forgiveness. I'm inviting you into my life as not only the Savior of my life, but as my Lord, my boss, my director. My life belongs to you right now, here, this day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you again for investing your time today. We invite you to visit with us on Sunday mornings. Join us for coffee and fellowship at 9 a.m., followed by Bible study classes for all ages at 9:30. Our worship service begins at 10:40 a.m. During the worship service, we have an amazing time of discipleship and learning called Disciple Town. It's for your children ages 4 years old through 5th grade. We also offer nursery care for your younger ones during the Bible classes and the worship service. Our church campus is located at 707 Kitterman Road in North Port St. Lucie, just about a quarter mile west off of US 1. If you have a need or questions about something you heard today, please text us at 772-205-6552 or go online to graceemmanuel.com. Grace Emmanuel is a Bible-teaching, Bible-believing, fellowshipping church with ministry to children, youth, young adults, families, and our seniors, all making up a wonderful family of believers called by Jesus to follow close, to love well, to serve strong, and to reach far. May Jesus, who died to redeem you from the terminal sickness of sin, bring wellness to your life today. Please visit with us soon.